that I want to pray for you guys. Because I feel most of the time you guys are praying for me, but I feel like God gave me a word. So I don't actually feel like I need prayer, but I feel like you need to receive it. And so, Lord, would you open their hearts? Would you make room, Lord? We're singing this song. Would you make room for you to move? Lord, would they open their hearts for you to move this morning, Lord God, in their lives? We don't want to be the same, God. We don't want to be people that just come to church. We want to be people that are changed for your kingdom and your world. And we want to be people that are the light. And we don't put that under a sand, Lord God, but we put it on the top of the hill so everyone can see it. In Jesus' name. So thank you so much. If you haven't, let me just introduce my family. This is my beautiful wife, Nolene, of 25 years marriage, 28 years of knowing. And my daughter, Kylie, she's 13, and she is a wonderful blessing to us. She is an incredible gift to our family. She keeps us on our toes. She is very sharp, so she will quote scripture when you don't need it quoted. Didn't you say your yes is your yes and your no is your no? And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, sorry, Lord, I do hear her. So she does hear God's voice quite clearly, and it's quite a privilege to watch God do things in her life. So thank you for the privilege of being here today. It's an incredible privilege to share God's word with you guys, and I'm so excited what God's going to do. But before I start, I want you to know this. You cannot put, and Mark said it earlier, and he changed my whole preach because I played paddle with him yesterday. And he told me the little story about his cat, Paul, and he mentioned you cannot put new wine into an old wineskin. And so that's the title of my preach today. You cannot take new wine and put it into something old. And to just modernize that today for you guys is this. We don't put wine in wineskins anymore. We have these big silver barrels you see if you're going to in wine farm. Normally, if they're really making really nice wine, it's in an oak barrel. And if they have to ever put wine back in that, they have to burn it again. They do a couple of things to it in order to prepare it. And I felt that's for a picture for you guys today. In order for you to repair what God needs to do in you, you need to make room. The old things that are there, the sediment from the old wine cannot be stayed. It'll infect the new one that God wants to put in you guys. So you cannot sit with that old sediment. He basically wants to uncontaminate that whole thing this morning. So he wants to take things out of your lives that were put in there, and some things you've picked up along the way in your walk. So I'm actually if you don't know what I'm actually talking about, I'm talking about repentance. And so I just quickly want to touch on one thing here, and it's been something that I didn't put in this preach, but I felt it was very prevalent to say up front, is if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, Jesus cannot forgive you. I'm going to just mention that. So when you hear this preach come through, if there's somebody who's hurt you before and you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, the most powerful thing I ever heard was that thing. If you hold unforgiveness in your heart, God cannot forgive you. Now, I don't want any of you to leave here today with that in your heart, that you cannot be forgiven by Jesus. So you just think about if anybody's hurt you, make right while I'm preaching if you need to. But that's probably the most powerful thing I've ever heard. And the one thing that keeps us away from the things of God is that we think we're protecting ourselves, but actually you're just hurting yourself. So Matthew 9, verse 17 says, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skin will burst. Should I read from there? Neither is the new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into a fresh wineskin so that both are preserved. So I'll use scriptures just so you don't believe I'm just pulling it from the book of Dylan. This is actually the Bible. Okay, so I do preach from the Word of God. And that basically just means we can't sit with the old stuff and sit around and keep trying to put God's new stuff in us while we're sitting with our old stuff. God is not a God that just stays stagnant all the time and he just accepts us. He wants to enlarge you. And what happens when you put wine in a wineskin is that actually the wineskin actually stretches. That's what happens because of fermentation. So that doesn't happen in steel drums anymore, but it'll actually, and even with barrels, they call it the angel's share. So if you put wine in a barrel, because of fermentation, it'll start dripping out it'll get out the slats. And they call that the angel's share. It's because it's just the pieces that they lose to the actual of the wine. So that's what we're going to have to do. So when God puts new wine in us, I want it to come out of the excess. When God does his work through his spirit, that pushing out is like you're overflowing with God's presence when you leave here. Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24 says, to put on your former way of life, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on a new self, created in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. It's basically breaking down what I just said about new wine into, you can't keep the old, you've got to get rid of the old in order for God to be able to do the new stuff in you. We've all made wrong turns. And it's like a modern day GPS, you know? You can, it'll say, go down the road, and as soon as you miss it, it says, where possible, make a legal U-turn. And if you keep ignoring it, it'll keep saying that. You know that God's doing the same to you right now. If you're keeping down this path and you're not going the right way of God, he's telling you, please make a legal U-turn. If God is saying, you're going the wrong way, he doesn't say that to you. He says, let me help you turn around. And so repentance is this. It's a good picture of repentance is this. You're walking to sin this way, and then you repent. You can't keep going this way. It's impossible for you if true repentance is this. And sometimes true repentance is sprinting in that direction to get away from that stuff. So sometimes you have to run away from the things that tempt you, the things that hurt you, the things that hold you back. You can't stay there. You can't hang out in that place. So what is repentance? Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. It's about making a U-turn in your thinking and your actions. The devil is very good at putting stuff in our heads. That's temptation. That's not sin. When it becomes an action, it's a sin. When you act on that temptation, that's when it becomes a sin. So the Bible is quite clear. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee. You can't entertain the devil, and he will flee. Resist him. And that's a turning and running. It's not a... So I want to jump quickly down to the... I felt God tell me there's a lot of... I always ask God this. What are you actually asking people to repent of? And so I'm going to list them so you know. So while I'm carrying on sharing about repentance, I'm going to list these ones, and then if anyone rings true to you, at the end I'm going to ask you to respond because God wants to do something in your heart. So the first one was personal sins and attitudes. First one's pride. Thinking you don't need God, always having the feeling that you have to be right in every argument. That's just pride. Never backing down. The other one is bitterness and unforgiveness. Holding grudges, refusing to let go of the past hurts. Those things eat away at you. Lying and deception, even white lies, exaggerating, or even hiding the truth from some people. Addictions. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, social media, gambling, anything that controls you. And the scripture for that is John 8, verse 36, and it says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Relationship and social sins, gossip and slander, talking about others behind their back, toxic relationships, keeping those friends that you know are no good for you or Jesus alive just because they make you feel good when you can be around them. That's sometimes what we do because it's for our own benefit. We don't do it for God's benefit. Because if we did, we'd run away from those toxic relationships. Cheating in relationships or marriage, emotional or physical. Looking at things that you're not supposed to if you're married. Or entertaining thoughts in your head about other people that isn't your wife. Stop it. And Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Because it's quite, I'm going to smile a bit because maybe it's looking a little bit, sounding a bit heavy, but I am hitting some things here. And it's spiritual truths that God wants to deal with this morning. When you hear these things, I don't want you to feel like, oh, I'm so bad. That's not why Jesus died for you. Jesus died for your freedom, not for your condemnation. So this morning is about freedom. It's not about condemnation. God doesn't bring condemnation. God brings freedom into the house and into your lives. Okay, so as I'm saying that, let it sink in and just say, okay, God, is that something I've got to deal with? Cool, let me deal with it. Because we can't sing songs like, here's my whole heart and then I give you nothing. When I'm making, I want to make room for you to move. If you really want him to move, make room. Okay. This is coming right across. Everybody happy? Am I smiling enough? Is nobody feeling like the wrath of Dylan coming down? I hope not. Okay, financial sins. Nice big one for everyone, including me. Always get this one a little bit hard. Greed and materialism. Placing money or possessions above God. That's what it is. I just need one more thing, God. This is the most ugliest statement you've ever heard from the richest man in the world. They asked him, when will you have enough? And he says, when I have a little more. That thing will kill you, chasing money. Okay. Dishonesty in business, under the table deals, avoiding tax, unethical practices. There's a story about a man who avoided the tax man. And didn't avoid him, but he kind of like worked out plans on how to hide until he heard a preacher about doing this, and he was convicted. And now he is one of the people that speaks on tithing and speaks on giving. God takes a bad thing that you were doing before and makes it a blessing to other people in the church. He blesses so many people in finances at the moment. It's incredible. But we keep thinking we hide that thing because it's the shame, and the devil wants you to sit under shame. But God wants to use your shame for the glory of his kingdom, because he changes you, not us. We don't change ourselves. Not tithing or being generous when we do what we're not supposed to do. Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve both God and money. I just want that part out of it. You can't serve both. Please don't hear me wrong. If you're blessed by God and you have a lot of money and you're doing well in God, I'm very happy for you. And it's not a sin to do that. But if you're serving your business for the money it makes you, and not because it can be a tool to help somebody in God's kingdom, maybe just check that. Digital sins. Social media. This is probably our most hardest one at the moment in life. And the problem with this is people go visit the most beautiful places, get dressed in the most amazing ways, run down to where the place is, take a selfie and then leave. And leave what the beauty was. They don't enjoy the beauty that God made it. They just want people to see them in this beautiful place. And we become the selfie generation. We come about this, look at me. And there's nothing wrong if you're like going and seeing places. But if it's becoming your identity of what people see of you, if your life is falling apart, but every picture of you is like, look how happy I am. And over here, your marriage is falling apart, your life is falling apart, but the perception is, look how great I am. Nobody knows. It's just, and it takes it all the time where you could just go down to the beach, see a beautiful sunset and say, yes, God, and let's pray. God, what a privilege to sit here and watch the beauty you made. And we've turned it into this. That's what we look like. And you see so many of those people. If it's that thing, and then just scrolling. Scrolling and scrolling. I think, well, they call it X now, but TikTok, I think it's probably the most weirdest thing that I find myself. I've never scrolled so much in my life when I got to, I downloaded TikTok, and you just can just keep going and going and going and going. And going on, and then I realized that, like, I'm sitting for an hour and a half, I'm scrolling, and I didn't want to see anything, but it was the next thing was there, and you would just watch it. It's so meaningless. But we do it because that's what it wants to do. It wants to captivate you. And in that, the world's feeding into your soul, not Jesus, not feeding you anymore. Okay, I think I spoke about enough of that. Online buying or canceled behavior. We got this weird thing where Temu, we're all guilty. How many people buy from Temu? I know, I'm one. Huh? Sheen. How many adverts do you get from Temu? I had to delete my Temu app because it just keeps saying, oh, you're going to win another 2,500 rand if you push this button now and invite 20 friends. And what? They want to make money off you. They're not giving you anything. And you'll go down that road and order three things and then you skip. I got 2,500 grand. And then they say it's vouchers. 100 rand off this. And you're like, oh, I thought I was going to get 2,500 grand. It's a lie from them to suck you in. But we get sucked in those things because we spend too much time on those little things. Okay, so that's all. That's what I wanted to share. So let's get back to what is repentance. So real repentance means this. When you know what those things are, own it. Don't make excuses. Don't justify your standpoint. Own it. No excuses. None. It's not God for you. It's holding you out of God. Feeling it. It's not just guilt. It's the desire to change for Jesus. It's not just guilt. It's probably the furthest thing from guilt. Guilt is the fruit of staying unrepented forever. But the true fruit of God is to change that thing around into something that's going to make it beautiful for you. Turning from it. Choose differently, man. If you keep going down this road here, just choose to go this way. You know, sometimes I wish God took free choice away from me. But he didn't, because he loves me. And he wants me to make choices to him. When I'm choosing this, I'm not choosing him. I'm choosing my destruction, my breaking. If I'm choosing this way and running and fighting and killing and pulling through weeds and everything else that holds me back, I'm choosing him. And he wants you to choose that. Always wants you to choose that. But he's given you a free choice. Choose life. Don't choose death. Running to God. Not hiding from him. Where can I hide from your presence? Even if I go to the depths of the ocean, you are not. You, there you are. Even if I run to the highest mountains, there you still are. You can't run from God, man. You can't ask Jesus to come live in your heart and think you're apart from him when you're sinning. You make him participate in your sin. That's what happens. And he's like, oh, please, Dylan, don't do that. And then he's like, when you've done it and you go, oh, I'm so sorry, God. He's like, come, my boy. Run back into my arms. I'm waiting for you. I died for you. So a couple stories that show in the Bible, just so you know, I'm back on the Bible again. I'm not just talking about Dylan again. So David in Psalm 51, he writes this whole thing once Nathan comes and convicts him about his sleeping around with Bathsheba. If you don't know the story, he's a bad man, he sleeps with a married woman, and then sends her husband off to go and die, and get killed in the army, puts him in the front line so he dies. But Psalm 51 is probably one of the most beautiful scriptures about repentance. It's his heart just going, God, I'm so broken. Like, take this thing from me. And his whole demeanor every time is this, Lord, I repent. I'm so sorry I went that way. And some people always ask, like, why is David a man after God's own heart? Look what he did. Does that mean if I go and grab somebody else's wife and kill people, I'm good? No. It's the way he responded once he had done that. It's our response in our heart that drives us back to the things of God that God wants for you guys. One of the most popular scriptures you would have read in that, and one of we probably quoted a lot, and if you do know your Bible, It's where David says, create in me a clean heart, God. He knows his heart's got things have crept in, and so there's not the room of God. So he's asking God, and this morning I want you guys to ask God, create in me a new heart. I want to allow the things of you to come in where I've messed up. Real strength is owning your weakness and letting God heal it. That's a real strength. We think we're strong because we don't, but we know we're weak. You know when you're in sin and you're sitting here and you, if I told these people what I did, they're going to reject me. Come on, man. That's such rubbish. That's the devil's lie to you, trick you to stay there. That's where you're going to stay if that's what you're thinking. We love you. God says so many things about the Bible. If we're not doing that in love, then we're like clanging gongs. And so what happens when you stay there is you've made yourself a clanging gong because you're not allowed the people to love you. And so God wants to take you from that place and say, rubbish, I want you here, free of all that stuff that we mentioned earlier. So it's going all right. How am I doing? Cool. Okay, the prodigal son, you know that story quick. My wife's cutting me down on time. I'm going for too long. It's always lovely to have a wife there. Okay, I'm going to quickly run through the rest. So repentance is not, it's not saying I'm sorry, I'm going back to the same thing. Can't go back to the same thing. It's not just tears. I'm so sorry. It's change. Change your life. It's not feeling bad or getting caught. It's realizing you've hurt your relationship with God. The fear part is when you think you're going to get caught in your sin. But actually, that's not even the part that you need to be worried about. It's the relationship that's starting to get severed with the living God. So why is repentance good news? It brings freedom from guilt and shame. It brings clarity, a fresh view on life, peace. Your heart is clean. What a beautiful thing. Restoration. You want to walk right with God again. If we so 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So I want you to ask yourself today, is there something I need to turn from out of that list I gave you? And maybe it wasn't even in that list, but you just know, like, I need to get out of this. If that's you, have you been running from God when he's been calling you home into more of him? And you know there's more, but you've been running in this way. But he wants to call you back to this side. Is there a step I can take to make it right? Yes, there is. It's called repentance. So today, I want you to, when I make that call, I want you to say, it's me, Lord, I want to repent from my old ways. I want to come into the new. I want to make room in my life again. And I want you to come in and speak to that. So why don't we all stand? Close eyes. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. So the first people I want to speak to is this. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, and this morning you've been feeling like everything I've been saying is the stuff that you've been battling with your whole life, and there is this king who came down and became a man and gave up his own life so he could pay for all the sins I've ever done in my life. And his blood was shed for you. And he wanted to call you this morning back to him. So the first people I want is, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, those are the people I'm talking to now. So if that's you and you wanted this morning, want to come and say, God, I want to give you my life. Would you just pop up your hand quickly so I can see who you are and I want to pray with you? Is there anyone here that just wants to give their life the first time to Jesus? if you're not brave enough to put up your hand, I am standing in the front door afterwards for you to come and see me. The second one is this. You've been serving Jesus, and this is not the repentance call I'm going to make now, but you feel like, if you're asking yourself this question, if I die today, will I go to heaven? If there's an uncertainty in your heart, I want you to put your hand up right now and say, Lord, I want to come back. So if that's you, would you pop your hand up quickly? Perfect. Okay. Now for the rest of you, you can actually look at me, and then I want you to start. If God spoke to you during this thing, and I know he spoke to a lot of you, I want you to come to the front. Just start coming to the front. I'll be surprised if anybody's left in their chairs, because I know God gave this message to me for this church and for whoever's visiting. So if you're visiting, don't feel like you can't respond. If God spoke to you, just come to the front. This is you doing business with God, not with me, okay? I'm going to give it a couple more seconds. So if you still feel like you want to just come to the front. Okay, why don't we close our eyes, those guys in the front. And if you're at the back, would you pray for the guys in front here as well? Lord. Okay, maybe I should tell you to repeat after me. I do. Okay, I'm going to pray something quickly, then repeat after me. I'll tell you when to, okay? Lord, this is not between us and each other, Lord God, but this is between us and you. And Lord, your spirit says you cut between soul and spirit, bone and marrow this morning, Lord God. Father, I want to pray for new hearts. Restored hearts to you, Jesus. So now you can repeat after me. Lord Jesus, we repent of everything that we've ever done against you, Lord God. And Lord, would you come and clean out this room? Would we make space for you to move? In Jesus' name. Amen. So while you're here, so there's the one thing I felt right in the beginning was this unforgiveness. And I know I brushed over it very quickly. But this is the power of unforgiveness. I'm going to just jump on the stage quick so you can see. Hopefully it doesn't feed back. Somebody's hurt you. You got this nice big sharp knife in your hand. And you're looking at them and stabbing yourself in the leg, and you're bleeding right now, and blood's flowing, and you're bleeding stitches, and the other person doesn't know a thing about it. Did you feel like that worked for you? That's what unforgiveness is. It's drinking poison and expecting other people to die. It's not something that you need to hold in you. And the more important thing is what I said in the beginning is, like, if you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, Jesus cannot forgive you. And I don't want anybody in this place not to be forgiven, because he paid the ultimate price for your lives. He's given you everything you need to get for the freedom in your own hearts. And all you got to do is go, it's a horrible, hard step, and I'm not justifying anybody who's hurt you. I'm not justifying their behavior. But I can't get to heaven one day and go, Dylan, why were you so angry? Well, because John hurt me and he took away and stole all my money and my business fell apart. But Dylan, how did you respond? I'm not asking you what John did. What did you do in your heart? How did you? Well, I couldn't get in there, Dylan, because you were holding all this bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. And I want to get in there. So why don't we close our eyes again? I want to do this. Lord, would you help people to forgive? Lord, where they make a choice right now, just to, in their hearts, to say, Lord, I forgive that person, Lord God. But forgiveness is not just that. We know that, God. It's this, and this is where the hard part comes. Lord, we want to bless those who we're giving forgiveness to, Lord God. That you would totally restore them back to the things of God. Because actually, God, I needed forgiveness. And you gave it to me even when I didn't deserve it. Can you come, Lord God, and bring your forgiveness upon my life, and would you break in? And so there's some people getting touched right now by God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, guys. Mark, I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, I think we're going to land it shortly. I want to encourage any of you, if the Lord worked on your heart this morning, and there is things you need to work through, grab somebody in the congregation and work through, you know, become accountable for each other. And really, the Lord can change these things in a heartbeat. And then there's times we've got to work through it. And in that working, we need to co-pilot each other and hook up. So my encouragement would be, before we leave, is to grab somebody in the week. Sit down, lay it down, bring it to the light, pray about it, and then hold each other accountable, walk with each other. I hope you guys had a good time this morning. Thank you for everybody that came through. And enjoy the Sunday roast.